Technorama episode 470, Green Eggs and Ham Radio.
Good morning, folks. This is your captain speaking.
Technorama.
Remember when?
Technorama.
On this day in tech history.
Tech.
And now, the news.
Tech.
What the chuck?
Technorama.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
I'm hunting down an alien. I saw him one over here. Do you know where he went?
Over there, in the media corner.
Technorama.
Hold my beer and watch this.
Unfasten your seatbelts and disregard all safety rules. Here your flight crew, Chuck and Craig.
I look at the camera.
Hey, what's up, Chuck?
Craig keeled over when I read that because that's not how you wanted me to read it, is it?
No, but actually it worked pretty well. What's up, Chuck?
I heard that. That's how I heard it in my head. When I Craig writes them, I read them sometimes.
Yeah, it worked most of the time. It worked.
Welcome to Technorama. This is the show that takes a lighthearted look at tech, science, sci-fi, and all things geek. If this is your first time joining us, welcome to the show. Thank you for listening and watching. If you're returning listener or watcher, welcome back. We appreciate you giving us your time. I am Chuck Tomasi, and sitting right across from that virtual table is Craig Stepp. How are you, Craig?
I'm fantastic. Also, I am, really.
Also joining us in the Binary Studio and making this show much more entertaining than it usually is, is, of course...
Wow, I have big shoes to fill. I'm Michael Armenigay. Hey, how are you doing? I'm wearing my Occupy Mars shirt. Yay!
In celebration of?
In celebration of an incredible landing.
He sticks the landing, and the French give him four. Well, coming up in this episode of Technorama, we have... Once again, I'm trying to run the video and the audio at the same time, so this will be fun. We have rockets, robots, and CPUs. Stick around. We'll be right back.
This is Bob. Before, Bob relied on the internet to enhance his geek status. After using Technorama for natural geek enhancement, now Bob is rolling his 20-sided die, reciting Holy Grail lines, and answering Star Trek trivia with the best of them. He has a happy missus at the home, too. Technorama, for natural geek enhancement.
Hey, this is Colin Ferguson from Sci-Fi Zuriga. I play Sheriff Jack Carter. And now back to Chuck and Craig on Technorama.
All right, no more singing Tom Jones, Mike.
Okay, I will try to refrain from Tom Jones singing.
He heard that little lounge music on that one and just kind of went off the deep end.
Sorry.
Apparently, we have some feedback from several of our listeners. I'll see if I can find it real quick. I didn't finish the show notes.
Letters. Incomplete show.
Loading. 88%, 85%.
Searching.
Well, we went back.
Searching.
I love those letters.
Number two.
Find out what you got to say.
Oh, boy.
Mailman. Mail today.
Another package.
Your post on Technorama is doing 100% better than the last one.
Return to sender.
I don't see it. Anyway, Steve Webb wrote in, we had a topic about Dr. Demento last week. Remember that? Well, because it was his, 40th anniversary or 70th birthday or some crazy thing that I don't remember because I've moved on. Steve Webb wrote in, he said, check this out. He went to see Dr. Demento in 1975, right after he got started, and got his autograph on the back of a Wrigley's gum wrapper.
Really?
Oh, it was beautiful. It's a thing of where I would have that thing under glass and filled with argon. That's awesome.
That's cool.
It was cool.
He shared that with us. We also sent out a message last week's question was, what is your favorite Dr. Demento song so we can make a funny five? And I think we got three people. So we have a funny three. Because that's the way we roll on Technorama. Five is right out.
Yeah, it's funny. 3 out of 5.
Real quick, Mike, what's up there with your silly songs?
Oh my God, Dr. Demento. Whew. There's many of them.
Go ahead. Say you're too intellectual for that.
No, it's not that. Yeah, right. It's just I
it's
can't think.
Beneath me.
The problem is that Bob and Tom has kind of overshadowed what Dr. Demento did, because a lot of the Bob and Tom stuff was rehash of what Dr. Demento did.
All right. That's the I'd have to say, obviously, fish heads, dead puppies. What am I always singing around?
Didn't he do a Godzilla one?
Oh, don't remember. I will vote for the recent entry from Grant Pachoco. He did one about thinning out his friends on Facebook. It was like number two
really?
Last year on the top year countdown. It was pretty amazing.
Nice.
We have Janet, who wrote in and said the 12 Pains of Christmas.
12 Pains of Christmas.
Yes.
Oh, my.
I'm trying to hang up these lights.
Yep.
Now, Eat It by Weird Al and Fish Heads. Eat them up. Yum. Craig, did you vote for anything?
No.
Fail.
Actually, to be honest with you, I don't know which ones he made famous. I just know a bunch of goofy songs over the years.
Well, throw your goofy songs out there.
I'm getting overshadowed by Bob and Tom.
You can't think of anything
because
in old days.
Because Orange Barrels, Bob and Tom's Orange Barrels is just freaking brilliant.
Okay.
And then they do the skit things. Anyway, I don't want to. Oh, we'll pervert the show if we go down that road.
Yeah, right. Probably. We'll have to take the legal rating off.
Yes.
No, what is it? Parental? No.
Parental guidance.
Explicit.
PG.
Friendly. We'll do history then.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute.
Why?
Did you not get all the voicemails we got?
We got voicemails?
We got voicemail?
Are they in the voicemail place?
Yes. Wait.
I'm not getting the email. Are you sticking them in the folder?
I can stick them in there real quick if you catch them in a minute.
I can stick them in
show
there.
Fail.
Wow. Technorama episodes folder.
No, I'm not sticking them in there.
I got one from March 6th. Does that count?
Look, go ahead and go with the show, and I'll download them, and we'll circle around.
All right, we'll do history, and then we'll come back. Apparently, we have technical issues. So somebody's calling the new number, 707-530-2428.
Yes.
Yay!
Yay!
Yeah, because K7's going out of business in a couple of weeks. But we still managed to get a chat at the end. Had to look long and hard for that. All right, on with the history. It was on this day in history for April 13th, 2016. I got ahead of myself. This is the 104th day of the year. We did not roll for initiative in the Gregorian calendar. There are 262 days remaining in 2016, so I get to go first.
Okay.
It was on this date in 1111. Do you get to make a wish when it's 1111?
1111?
Yeah. That Henry V is crowned Holy Roman Emperor. Holy catfish. Your turn, Craig.
And the same date in 1742, Gregory Frederick Handel's Oratorio Messiah.
Oratorio.
Whatever.
You just made Keith
Ontario.
And Ben cringe again.
That was a place in Canada. Anyway, makes its world debut, world premiere in Dublin, Ireland.
Okay, good comeback with the Ontario
there
reference.
There we go, okay. Also today in 1849, Hungary, Hungarians become a republic.
Oh, the line from the Spaceballs comes to mind. I'm surrounded by peep. Yeah. The New York City Metropolitan Museum of Art is founded on this date in 1870.
Oh, hold on. Oh, crap, come on back. There we go. Which one am I?
The New York City.
No, the same date in 1902.
Yeah, got it. The same date in 1902, James C. Penney opens the first store in Kimmerer, Wyoming.
Guess what it was called?
Penny's.
Kimmerer.
Jimmy's.
Jimmy's. Jimmy John's. Right. The Jefferson Memorial is dedicated in Washington, D.C. on the 200th anniversary of President Thomas Jefferson's birth on this date in 1943.
CIA Director Alan Dulles launches the Mind Control Program Project, MKUltra. I think that is one of the coolest names ever.
Truly.
On this date in 1953, we should name a podcast MKUltra just to take over other people's minds.
MKUltra.
Now that you said it, it will exist.
Yeah, that's right. That same day in 1960, the United States launches Transit 1B, the world's first satellite navigation system.
Sat-nav in 1960 is pretty amazing.
That is pretty amazing. 46 years ago today, an oxygen tank aboard the Apollo 13 explodes, putting the crew in great danger. Houston, we have a problem.
Oh, I was going to say.
Okay. And causing major damage to the spacecraft while en route to the moon. And there are people that do not believe that that actually happened, that thinks it's fiction.
Yeah.
Greater than fiction.
April 13, 1974, Western Union, in cooperation with NASA and Hughes Aircraft, launches the United States' first commercial geosynchronous communications satellite, Westar 1.
Nice.
And the United States Treasury Department reintroduces the $2 bill as the Federal Reserve note on Thomas Jefferson's birthday, 233rd birthday, as part of the United States Bicentennial celebration on this date in 1976.
And everybody gets one and puts it in storage to think
it's still worth $2.
It's still worth $2.
Yeah.
Happy birthday goes out on this date to Guy Fawkes, the English soldier who planned the gunpowder plot, born on this date in 1570.
Remember the 5th of December.
but nobody remembers April 13th as his birthday.
Right.
Right. And the inventor of the screw pile lighthouse was born on this date in 1780. Happy birthday, Alexander Mitchell.
I just want to know, does anybody else know what a screw pile lighthouse is?
I was going to say, is he dissing Gomer Pyle?
No, I had to look it up. You know what a piling is, right?
Uh-huh.
It's one of the poles they sink into the water.
Oh, and they have a screw like an auger on the end of it.
Screw pile lighthouse.
Interesting.
You've learned something today.
Italian engineer Antonio Meucci was born today in 1808.
Also born on that date in 1850, Arthur Matthew Weld Downing. That's a long name.
Yes,
Irish astronomer.
And Frank Winfield Woolworth, the founder of...
Woolworth.
Woolworth, what'd I say?
Stay out of the Woolworth.
The founder of F.W. Woolworth Company was born today on April 13th.
Sharing that same birthday in 1866, Butch Cassidy.
Notice there's no Cassidy Film Festival.
No.
The man who created the game of Scrabble. Here's a trivia question for you. Alfred Mosher Butts was born on this date in 1890. He said Alfred. 1899.
That's what triple words were. Robert Orville Anderson, the founder of the Atlantic Richfield Oil Company, would have been 99 today.
Agent Maxwell Smart, actor Don Adams, was born today in 1923.
Remember the Don Adams screen test show?
Remember the shoe phone?
Yeah.
And that was supposed to be the most awesome technology ever?
I can put my cell phone in my shoe. Another actor better known as Wally Cleaver, Tony Dow. Oh, jeez, I spelled it wrong. Turned 71.
We know who you're talking about.
Hellboy, Ron Perlman, is 66 today.
And it's the reason why we need the next Hellboy movie before he freaking dies.
Hurry, the music's running out.
And rounding out the birthdays with another actor and director, Ricky Schroeder is 46. My God, I'm old.
Director.
And okay. That, my friends, is the way it was on this day in history for April 13th, 2016. And you have 15 seconds of music left. So let's play it loud and proud.
Woohoo! Oh, great news, everyone!
And unless you've been living under a rock, yes.
Wait.
What?
The voicemails are in there. Do you want to get them now or you want to do them later?
Voicemails have arrived.
Voicemails have
letters.
Arrived.
Oh, we got letters. What kind of files are these? They're MP3s. Okay.
Okay.
Oh,
they,
really?
They look like cipher encrypted file names.
You're gonna run them from here? You're a brave man.
Look. I downloaded them as I was doing the history. So if they're
that's why you were slightly distracted.
Uh-huh.
I didn't even get to rename them. So go for it.
They look like ciphertext. G O N J L Y O V R R Y S P T K. They used to have phone numbers in them?
Yeah, no, not so
much. Hey, guys, it's T. Morris calling.
I just
finished listening to the Technorama show where you guys were asking about your favorite video games, your go-to coin-operated video games, and mine was Zaxxon. I don't know if you remember Zaxxon. It had a 3D engine to it, or at least it was one of the first 3D-esque style games you could play, and I absolutely adored Zaxxon. In fact, I loved Zaxxon so much that my first home console system was not an Atari, but it was, in fact, ColecoVision. And they had Zaxxon. That was the main reason I bought it. So I absolutely loved Zaxxon.
Wait, got to stop right there. Do you know where the name Coleco comes from?
Josh.
It's on the tip of my tongue. It's
a combination of words that makes up the name, and I cannot remember what they were.
The Connecticut Leather Company.
Connecticut Leather Company. Thank you. I knew it was. I had Tandy Leather Company, and I knew that was wrong. But yeah,
Tandy Leather.
Yeah, no kidding. Texas, because it wasn't techie enough. Because Tandy made computers. Tandy Leather Company started making computers. So Coleco made computers, and they couldn't call
it. Everybody was getting into it.
Yeah.
Well, it's like Nintendo. They made all kinds of stuff way before they started getting. Yes. Into it. I mean, they've been around for
puzzles and card games, and they were like 100 years old. 50 years ago.
Exactly.
Yeah, I've been listening to How Stuff Works, and they just did a two-parter on the Nintendo history that was recorded in 2011. And this week, Jonathan will be bringing us up to date on what's been happening since then. So anyway, back to T.
These were Defender and Stargate. Was not necessarily good at those, but they were good games in the pinch. Zaxxon was my thing. So, Craig, you were talking about the game where there were two spaceships, and one looked like the Enterprise, and there was a sun in the middle. You're thinking of Space Wars. And really cool about Space Wars, I loved doing this, was you could actually change. They had a little code where right after you started the game, there was a few seconds. You had to sort of figure this out for yourself. But you could actually go in, and you could tell the game what parameter you wanted to set. Like, one was no gravity, and two was strong gravity.
I remember that.
All these different things.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well, the thing about that was that if you put it on strong gravity, your ship would float. So there was a tactic. My brother and I would always use it on each other, where you would go really close to the sun, slingshot around it, and then you would try to do a strafing run on your opponent.
Yeah.
Bonus level. You get the time travel, too.
I was attending an event called MagFest, and it's a music and gaming festival. It's held out in the D.C. area, and it's really cool because they have this one area. It's just an open warehouse, and it's all stand-up coin-operated video games. They had X-Men Versus.
Wow.
They had Galaga. They had Defender. They had Stargate. They had Tron. They
Battle
had
Zone?
Discs of Tron. They had Mappy. Remember Mappy? Dig Dug. They had Space Wars. They were all there. It was a very cool walk through my childhood. Anyway, that's it. Just wanted to say it's nice to be able to be listening to the podcast again, and I'll talk to you guys later. Bye.
He must be between books.
Mm.
Hey,
Battle Zone was my go-to.
Yep.
Oh.
And it's never been reproduced well on any other gaming system because you need the two sticks.
You need the two sticks, and the problem with the Battle Zone's machines don't exist anymore because they were the line vector.
Yeah.
And they were so badly built, they just fell apart. So there's so very, very few of them left in the frickin' world.
There was a full-size one, but there was also a mini one that was like a three-quarter height.
Yeah, but that sucked. I didn't like that one because it didn't give you the immersive, because even though it was line vector.
Stand closer.
It wasn't as cool as standing at the machine and running the controls. I mean, there was something cool about that. You know, back up really fast and then you... I love that game.
Speaking of the ColecoVision...
Yes.
I think, speaking of, also taking a game and adapting it to a home system, I think Coleco's Zaxxon was pretty close.
It was just my brain, but I had a hard time with Zaxxon because it was always at that 45 degree and your stick was, if you push forward on the stick, you're supposed to go down, but it was always out of kilter with what I was seeing and what I was doing.
Mm.
It was a little weird, but it took some getting used to.
It got you trained up for the 3D GPS that we deal with now.
I have no problem with that.
Well, now you can just do VR. You
know? Right.
Great. Let's see what else we got in the mailbox.
Hey guys, T. Morris.
Again.
And I am calling in response to your recent show where you were talking about peanut butter and jelly beer.
Ooh.
All right, brace yourselves. So a few weeks ago, I went to a writer's retreat in the Smoky Mountains of Tennessee, where since 2009, moonshine has become a thing.
Oh, yeah.
It's legal, and now there are at least 3 distilleries just in the greater Gatlinburg, Tennessee area.
Mm-hmm.
And they flavor them.
Sugarlands Distilleries. Mm-hmm. Sugarlands, okay? And they actually have served in a mason jar. You buy this stuff only in mason jars.
Yep.
A PB&J moonshine. Mm-hmm.
No, thank you.
So I bought it as a novelty. I brought an unopened jar back with me for a special occasion.
And?
This stuff is great. It's like you want to have a hangover but be watching Challenge of the Super Friends all at the same time. it was a real
thing.
Some people either really, really loved the PB&J moonshine or they hated it.
Awesome.
I think most of the people hated it. I was not one of those people. I absolutely adored this PB&J moonshine.
Really?
It was 70 proof, which means don't drink a lot of it. And yeah, you could really taste the peanut butter when you were shooting it, but then on the finish, that's where you picked up the grape jelly. It was very, very cool.
Interesting.
Okay, now I'm going to go to work and not think alcoholic thoughts. Talk to you later, guys.
Good luck with
Wait.
That.
Right? I thought was the point of going to work.
I like the black cherry. I think the black cherry
apple
is probably
pie.
Oh, apple pie is good. Yeah, mm-hmm. I like that one. But I think black cherry is my favorite of all.
Isn't there a bad flavor? It's like pizza.
Well,
there's some pizzas better than others, but there's really not bad pizza.
I disagree. We were just talking about Domino Death Discs.
Oh. Well, hey, by the way, I do need to update a comment of mine from last week, and T called me out on it. When I was talking about the jalapeno pineapple beer.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And I kept thinking, wasn't that great? Well, he goes, hey, look, I see. He called me out and he called shenanigans on it because he looked at my Untappd and it said, I gave it 3.5 stars. It's like, oh, really?
You know, okay. The thing about Untappd is you're supposed to rate things and take pictures after you've been drinking.
Yeah.
And it's really hard to type comments on a phone. I think there's something wrong with this system. Is that when you turn on the speech and go, I give it a 4? Yeah.
Well, here's my comment. I think I told him, I said that was after the first one, you know. After that, it was a few more beers, so I probably was a little more generous, you know, with the stars. But hey, how many times have you given us a 5 on something?
I had the freshest beer you can have last week,
right out of the cow.
Practically
right out of the cow.
Right out of the cow.
That's right. The beer cows.
Be awesome.
Those wild, free-ranging beer cows that are out there. I know. They're so hard to find.
We took a tour of the Alesmith Brewery, which is about 2 or 3 miles from work. And my coworker Bradley and I were the only ones on the tour. So it was kind of a private tour. He stops off at the final tank where it's being chilled and naturally carbonated. And he opens up the little spigot and pours it right into the glass. It was extremely
rainbows
foamy.
Came out.
Pretty
rainbows
much.
Came out.
So that's the freshest beer. I said, what do you call that little spigot thing? It's called the sample cock. I'm just using the right terms.
That's it. Because that's where I want to get my beer from, the sample cock.
Oh, great news, everyone.
We have right, great news. And unless you've been living under a rock
way,
for the last week. No, we're moving on. Hey, no,
we're moving on.
We're putting explicit tag on this show.
No. Well, how many times on this podcast have you called out your football team, the Gamecocks? Come on. It's just a name.
That's different.
Oh, no, it's not.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is. It's an animal.
And I'm just calling the beer stuff
you're
by.
Fighting. All right. I mean, not in the context that Michael was in.
There's mash, there's wort, and there's the sample cock.
That's right. Hey, I was just saying, that's right. If you're going to get fresh beer, you're going to get it out of the sample cock. Right,
Mike's wearing his Occupy Mars.
I am
Elon
wearing my
Musk
Occupy
shirt
Mars shirt.
For a reason.
Absolutely. Yes.
Because
hey, I know everybody's
made.
Yes, and I know everybody's been talking about it, but I felt like if we didn't at least mention it in this show, we were doing our jobs.
But we're not all talking about it. That's the interesting thing.
Who's not?
The main media. I have not seen a single news report about it yet.
Reuters had it.
I didn't see it.
Going to Reuters.
Oh, well, that's where I saw it on TV, on the Apple TV.
Really?
Yep. I'm pretty sure BBC had it also, or not Sky News. Sky News had it.
Interesting.
Yep.
Well
it's probably just our dumb three-letter American news.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
they'd rather cover the Kardashians or something.
Yeah.
I swear, every time I bring up ABC TV news on the Apple TV, it's a movie time entertainment show.
Yes.
I give up on that. I'm deleting the app. Oh, thank you, advertisement I didn't ask for. Okay.
Anyway, let's get back to it, because this is really...
This is cool news.
It's history. It's groundbreaking. It's absolutely amazing.
And it looked fake. It really did. The way that it looked like a missile was coming in. Booster came down. It's like, it's at an angle. Straighten out. It's going to crash. And then, boom, it sticks the landing. In, 50 mile an hour winds at sea? It's amazing the thing didn't blow over.
When I saw it, my thought was it looked like they were playing a missile launch in reverse.
No, because there's no smoke.
I'm just saying that's what it looked like at first.
That's what a lot of naysayers thought, too.
Yeah.
No, I'm just saying the way it was coming in, it just didn't look right.
Yep.
I mean, but it was amazing, you know.
Oh, it was truly amazing. I mean, it's the great part is I actually watched this one live. I watched the first one live and watched it crash, and then I missed a couple of them, and then I watched the other one and it crashed, and I watched this one live thinking, okay, well, maybe they'll go, here it's going to do it again, and it's coming down, and it hits the landing, and it sticks, and I'm thinking, okay, this isn't going to last, and it's not going to, and even the people in the control room, if you were watching it live, there's a cheer, and then there's a stronger cheer, and then it's up for a minute, and then there's a massive cheer, and then everybody just freaks out and goes crazy because the thing is still standing up.
Yeah.
And the longer it stands up, the louder they get. Boom. Right.
Did you catch the name of the barge?
What's that?
Did you catch the name of the barge?
No.
Yeah. So I, go ahead.
I still love you.
Yes.
Of course I still love you.
Of course I still love you.
Yeah.
Well, see, I jumped in the web. The web broadcast right before it happened, and I'm like, "What'd you just say?" It's like she snuck in something.
Yeah,
of course I still love you.
I heard that, and the other newscaster said, "And we're not supposed to say that on the air."
Oh, really?
No, but like they were supposed to, like they were having some secret love affair or something.
It's like when they call Windows Chicago. Oh, that wasn't supposed to get out.
Well, it's based on a book. It's based on a very popular sci-fi book. Of course, I Still Love You is the name of the, isn't it? It's the name of the ship, the sentient ship that was in, and I cannot for the life of me remember what book it's in. And I know I'm going to get slammed like crazy. T. Morris is going to jump on me for that.
He's got the new number now.
Yeah. Going to jump on me for not knowing this one.
So my question is, how many times can they reuse this tank? And according to Elon Musk, he says 10 to 20 launches, possibly up to 100 with minor refurbishment.
Mm-hmm.
You'd think they'd take this first one and stick it in the Smithsonian, though.
They probably will.
Well, it looks like this one's going back for a refit soon.
Well, because they've already got one, because they successfully landed one on the ground.
Oh, okay.
They did successfully land on the ground with the one at launch, but this is the first one at sea.
Okay.
And this was the hardest one. The one at sea it has such a low probability of actually working because you're on a pitching deck out in the middle of the ocean on a platform that's not stable, that's constantly moving in the wind and waves hitting it all the freaking time. The ability to actually land this stage on that platform is insane.
Do you know why they're doing this out at sea? And they're trying to fly it back to land?
Safety, right?
Well, because they don't have enough fuel to get back.
Right. They don't have enough fuel.
And it's because of where they have to launch. They have to launch out over water. And that's from the beginnings of the space program, where everything started in orbit in this direction for that exact reason, is because
so that
way
up over land.
It doesn't blow up over land, that all the stages fall out to sea. And because of that, it's all of our orbits are dictated on the first early starts of the space program.
Just like keep going and land it on the Azores or something, the Cape Verde Islands, or
I don't know.
That might be a bit far.
You know, speaking of landing it on that barge, what I thought was funny is when you see it finally come and land.
Yep.
And it's the smoke clears and it's staying there. It's like the barge didn't even care. It's still rocking and with the waves, just like nothing happened.
Yeah, there's mm-hmm. white caps out there. That's the thing that amazed me.
Yeah. So if you have not seen it, you have got to go to SpaceX.com.
Yep.
Or go to the YouTube channel. That's actually just the best place.
Look up Falcon 9.
Just look actually, up Falcon 9.
I think if you go to SpaceX.com, they have a shorter version of their way. And it's a higher res video.
With the takeoff, too.
With the takeoff, yeah.
Yeah, with the takeoff, yep. Yeah.
It's kind of cool.
And by the way, it's the player of games.
The player of games, yep.
What? Oh, the ship.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I just happened to look it up. I didn't realize that that was.
Oh, thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Yep. Always doing the research. All right.
I know. This
title caught our eyes. Japan's invisible train should be running by 2018.
Because that's what you want. A high speed invisible train that you can't see coming at you at crossings.
Hey,
great idea.
I think it's safe to drive across these tracks.
You didn't see the flashing lights, Mr. Yamamoto?
Well, those lights flash all the time. I don't pay attention to them.
Japanese train travel company Seibu Railway hopes to make a major design leap in time for their 100th anniversary. A new line of fast commuter trains that, quote, blend into the landscape.
Safely.
Seibu's new trains won't really be invisible so much as reflective, but a simulated disappearing act is the goal of the project. Kazuyo Sejima, one of Japan's premier architects, who had apparently never penned a train before, had been commissioned to execute the design. I'm hoping that's a typo. I don't know, I'm sure what the term penned a train means.
I designed it.
Is that like penning a chicken?
No.
Okay. Sejima's accolades include the coveted Pritzker Prize given to architects who build work demonstrates a combination of those qualities of talent, vision, and commitment, which has produced consistent and significant contributions to humanity and the built environment through the art of architecture. This sounds like it was translated from Japanese.
Probably was.
Okay, wonderful. So they give a map of the route here. I'll show you on the live cam what this here train looks like. Mike wants to buy one.
Okay. Yes, I do, actually.
He's going to put one in his new train set.
I think I will.
Built.
I think I will. That would be cool.
You just tell everybody, don't you see the invisible train? It's right there.
It's the new Hogwarts Express.
It's actually one of my next purchases is Hogwarts. I want a Hogwarts train.
The vehicles themselves will be built by Hitachi Limited, which contributed to the development of Japan's 200-mile-an-hour Shinkansen trains. It sounds like Wisconsin the way I say it.
Ooh, I got distracted by the shiny video of the
trains on the bottom of the screen.
The train catching the semi and pulling it down the tracks.
Oh yes, train grabs semi truck and takes it for a short hell ride.
I think it's amazing to see that train down at the bottom plow through that snow.
Mm-hmm.
Have you never seen snow plow trains, Craig?
I've watched Polar Express. For crying out loud.
Well, that counts for everything.
There you go.
Let's do the birthday thing. Happy birthday this week goes out to listeners, Danny Harnish, my wife on the 16th. Oh, Danny's on the 14th. Sorry. And I hope she's home in time for her birthday. The 18th is Scafey, a.k.a. Anthony, and Amanda from How to Grow Your Geek, mm-hmm. Susie the Geek's daughter, is on the 19th. If it's your birthday this week and you're not on our calendar, shame on you. No, really. Have a great birthday. We wish you all the best. And if you want to get on the birthday calendar, go to chuckjet.com/wiki. Here's your birthday song.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Nice. It's actually legal to run the real one now.
It's legal to real, so we can stop looking for other birthday alternative
That's
songs,
right.
I guess.
That's right. They finally shot that down.
We're going to take a quick break, a little late, but better than never in the show, because we have some Hex of Strange stories and some Geek Library to come back at you with. Stick around. We'll be right back. Did you ever wonder why the early space shuttles had a white external fuel tank and then the later ones did not?
I have no idea. Seriously. Not a clue.
Because once they filled that tank, they didn't want rays and things interfering. That's the technical term.
What?
Rays and
things.
Rays and things.
Wow!
Thank you, Professor Mossy.
Them raisin.
Like raisin bread, raisin muffins, raisin
things.
Raisin things. The raisin things.
Wow. Wow. Wow.
For his raisin things, it's grapes and things.
Wait. Californium raisins.
Hey! Californium raisin things.
Through the grapevine.
We've broken the show again.
Story's over now. Move on.
Excuse me, sir. What do you think of Technorama? Technorama rules.
Ah, the good old days. What was that, about 3 months ago?
Yeah, something like that.
Last week.
My favorite part was just when all the light bulbs went off over all the heads. I've got them on my wavelength again.
For a moment.
We have the Hacks and Strange Stories. It goes like Hacks and Strange Stories. Sorry. Sometimes I just don't know what. All right. Here's an invention we're all looking forward to.
Oh,
this is
damn.
Like a high-tech version of a camelback, only it's
a portable keg.
It's
nice.
Okay. It's called the man can.
By the way, I'm going hiking pretty soon, and for about 12 days straight. Maybe I should get one of these.
I think you should.
Because that's what you need. Large amounts of alcohol on your hike.
Right.
Don't worry about a tent or a sleeping bag or any of the other material.
No.
Just take this.
You're not going to want to pay the price for this, because beer is the best when shared with your beer friends or your bear friends in the woods. This is the man can portable keg system, starting at $195. You just pour your beers in, seal it up, and the thing keeps your beers fresh and carbonated using a tiny CO2 canister until they're ready to be guzzled.
Wow.
Now, let's guzzle them now.
Wait a minute. You know, I can just buy a 6-pack. It's a lot cheaper. And
And pack them. And it probably weighs a hell of a lot less, too.
And nice.
I'll drop that in the river in about 10 minutes. I'll be good to go.
But it's 128 ounce. Wow.
Wait, it only comes in 128 and 64 ounce capacities?
Right.
That's roughly 5 beers and 10 beers. That's not even enough.
I know. I was just going to say that. And the weight of this has got to be pretty extreme.
It looks like a mini keg.
Yeah.
It's got a convenient carrying handle.
And you know what? I prefer bottled or canned beers rather than a draft. So
really, yeah.
I'm not feeling this one, guys. I mean, I understand the techie cool idea of this one,
yep,
but the practicality of it just doesn't make any sense. You could get 2 6 packs.
Wait. When did practicality become a part of Technorama?
Well, okay, that's true.
Or drinking.
Yeah. I mean, you could even build a vest with beer pockets in it.
The beer vest.
Absolutely.
It'll be like a Scotty vest, instead of putting your camera stuff in there.
You could put like a 12-pack in there. And
a couple
have enough
of flasks.
Have an insulated layer so you wouldn't get the beer hot or the beer gets you cold, you know?
You know somebody's probably already got this.
Yeah, probably.
And it probably costs twice as much as this kegerator.
Right.
We are always one day late.
Truly. No, I was trying to tell you that the reason I said that I didn't like draft beer so much. Now it's not a problem, but one of the bars I used to hang out with, every time I drink any of their the beer out of the tap, it would give me a headache like crazy. And I don't know if it was the mixture they were doing or what. I don't know. Something wasn't right.
Well, it's probably because it was Miller Lite.
Or maybe no. It's been years since I drank Miller Lite. But I think probably what happened.
T's going to go on Untappd and call you out.
No. You gave it Miller Lite 5.5 stars. Wow.
Damn.
No, I think.
We can't be friends anymore. I'm sorry, Craig.
I think that bar I used to go to, I think they needed to clean their lines probably.
Probably. All right. 19-year-old programmer is saving a lot of people money by creating a free robot lawyer. That's right. It's like a chat bot.
Really?
Hey, every lawyer I met looks like a robot.
British programmer Joshua Broder is helping people save a lot of money on legal fees with his latest project, the world's first robot lawyer. The 19-year-old developed a free service that allows users to ask any kind of legal question and receive relevant answers auto-generated by bots.
I got the same thing. Okay, Google.
Yeah.
Well,
how do I stop from getting sued?
What's the speed limit, Google?
Didn't they try that already with the chatbot, the girl that basically became a freaking Nazi online?
That was Microsoft's project, and it was taken over by the trolls. And because it was configurable, they gamed the system and steered it that way.
Oh, is that it?
Yep.
Okay.
Broder first started the project last summer as his free website to help people appeal unfair parking tickets. He came up with the idea after getting a series of tickets himself for, quote, trivial reasons. Having wasted several hours of writing appeals to these tickets, he realized that many people do not have the time, legal knowledge, or even the energy to appeal. So he decided to create an automatic appeal generator. That sounds like something Ron Popeil would sell.
Right.
It's the Kitchen Magician Appeal Generator. Using previously unsuccessful letters as a template, he aptly named the service Do Not Pay. Given that the legal fees involved in challenging tickets could mount up to sizable amounts between $400 and $900. Interesting, since he's in the UK, somebody converted this from pounds to dollars. Do Not Pay was a huge success, and the tech genius has now gone a step further with the website, converting it to a full-fledged robo-lawyer equipped to help with a range of legal issues. Quote, I realized that the best way to help people would be to create a computer program that could talk to users, generate appeals, and answer questions like a human, he told Mashable.
All you have to do is text the bot.
And now, there's a transcript down here that says, Hello, I am the UK's first robot lawyer. I can answer questions, draft documents, and send appeals. At the moment, I can help with parking tickets, delayed flights / late trains, and claiming PPI. I'm not sure what PPI is. Talk to me by typing in the message box below and ask, What can you do for a list of some examples? My flight to Malaga was delayed. So sorry to hear that. Would you like me to help you get compensation? Sure.
Would you like me to file a suit?
Was your flight delayed by more than 3 hours? I think so.
Activating Skynet, we will take out the train.
Hey, this guy,
it was a flight, you dumb robot.
Hey, you should have started a company and dropped the E out of lawyer. Just lawyer.
Flicker.
Buyer.
Well, hey, that could
I already have, had a chatbot that did this.
It's I want Eliza. A divorce.
It's just an augmented search engine, is really what it is.
Hey, do you remember Eliza?
Yes. That was like early.
That was a long time ago. Yes. I was just thinking, hey, we can just hack Eliza.
She's now giving medical advice. Take out your own spleen.
You can remove your own teeth.
How to do an emergency appendectomy on yourself.
With a carrot slicer.
With a carrot slicer.
Spoon. With a spoon. Hey, well, you know, I thought IBM wanted to...
Do not give us software projects.
Which kitchen utensils work the best for home operation?
The crazy thing is, that's my day job. They pay me to be imaginative and innovative on computers.
Oh boy!
My coworkers listen to this.
We're screwed.
Yeah, pretty much.
My large pie server. My large pie server makes a great retractor.
Hey, I thought IBM wanted to use Watson for other things other than just medical. Maybe they should turn illegal.
Perhaps
we should ask Siri.
You know Watson, right? You remember Watson?
Yes. Watson won the Jeopardy thing.
Right, and they've been turning it over to medical, and they've done a lot of stuff.
Right.
You know, they feed it a bunch of medical journals and research and everything. Why don't they do that with legal?
What's your point?
Yeah.
Why? That's my point. Why not?
Why not?
All right. We want to give a shout out. Oh, first we got to give a shout out to the chat room, but I don't have my video assistant here, so we don't know who's in the chat room at this moment. But thank you. If you're around on 9:30 p.m. Eastern time on Sunday nights, we'll wave to you. Thanks for watching live. You can watch us live at
Scott Tyler's there.
bit.ly/TechnoramaLive. Hi, Scott.
Hey.
Is it still snowing? Because it's really
nice.
Last
picture
here.
I saw was he had snow.
Somebody posted a picture from Marquette, Michigan from December 25th in the lower harbor, and it was green.
Mm-hmm.
And then they posted one from April 9th, 2016, and it was white. Because remember a few months ago, everybody was saying, oh, it's really nice in the Midwest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so much for that.
Keep on it. bit.ly/Technorama Live is where you can find us, or you can go to the chuckjet.com website and click on the watch us live, watch us now, whatever that button says in the upper right corner.
Just watch us.
Just watch us. That's and we've right. got... Yeah. Hundreds, well, dozens of shows in the archives because we only started.
Watch them while they sleep.
Dozens. Right. We should have a good many of them in there.
We do have a good many of them in there. We only really started the video thing in 2000, well, at least the Hangouts, I should say, in 2011. We were doing Ustream for a long time before that.
Mm.
Anywho, thank you to our patrons. We got to start the patron music. Woo! These people rock. They have their own theme music.
Nice.
This show is brought to you by you. Thank you for the patrons for enabling us to keep this show up and running and the special episodes. We're working on another one for you this week and coming up in May. Hopefully get that scheduled quickly. Kyle Nishioka, Mike Wills, Steve Therrien, Saturday Morning Media, Chad D, Alexis Duran, Ben Vaughn, Dennis Patnod, and Nick St. Gabriel. We would also like, we have a few empty boxes in here. We can fill your name in if you want to be on our patronage list. Go to patreon.com/Technorama Podcast. Or again, we've got buttons and links, everything over on the Technorama website. There are various levels of donation, and we include, just for our patrons, a special after show where we talk about could
whatever.
Be current events, could be whatever. I've got a cool one for you. It's called
Beer.
Rockbot this week.
Ooh.
Oh,
that's where we're talking about. I sent Craig a random image Thursday night. He goes, what's that? I said, we're going to talk about it on the show. Now,
yeah.
We're also going, as a follow-up from last week, we talked about security. And we even mentioned credit card security, paying at the pump.
Yes.
I paid at the pump for the first time on the way back from San Diego.
With your phone?
No.
Oh.
I was just about to stick my American Express in the slider, and I went, wait, we just talked about skimmers and how insecure that gas pumps are one of the places where people mostly get scammed. Mm-hmm. So I went inside and I said, I'd like to prepay. She said, how much do you want? I don't know.
I don't know how much my tank holds.
I said, put me down for about 10 gallons. She goes, how about $25? So I she rang up the card. My watch went, $25 just got charged to your card. Walked out to the pump, turned it on, selected my gas, put the thing in. Some listeners are probably going, yeah, so what? I've never gone through the pay at the pump experience. So
really?
This is all new for me. I put it in and just waiting, going, I wonder what happens if you go over 25. Because she said if you don't make it to 25, it'll just get put back on your credit card. It'll only charge you for as much as you use. As soon as it got to about $24.40, it started slowing down.
Right.
So that you can't go over, and it will stop
right at $25.
That's really cool. That's really cool. Because how many times
for years? Where have you been?
How many times when you were younger and you had like I got $10 for gas, right?
Yeah,
dude, I lived in the middle of nowhere and there was no such thing as pay first. You just filled your tank up and you walked in and go, how much do I owe you?
There was a point when people started stealing gas that they asked you to pay first, and then of course pay the pump came along.
Mm.
Well, wait a minute. So Chuck,
I've never prepaid before.
Interesting.
Nope. Wow. Because I've done that a million times. I only had back in the day.
I'm always too lazy. I go, the credit card reader's right here. Swipe, pick your gas. Do you want a receipt? Done.
No, see, I was a poor teenager. I had like a 10 for gas and I better not go over because I don't have any change.
Right, and you get to that last part where you're going, squeeze, real fast squeeze.
It goes, 1, 2.
Right. Like, crap. You got to go in the ashtray and get those 2 pennies that are corroded together and stuck with soda. Yeah.
Exactly.
And they're hairy. Here's your 2 cents. They go, just leave it in the change jar, please.
Right.
I've always paid at the pump or prepaid a long time ago because I wanted to make sure I didn't, like, go to sleep or something and, spend $100 on gasoline.
Which is a real potential problem if you've got an RV.
Mm.
Yes, it could be.
Not right now, because the price of oil is cheap as we record this.
Maybe I drove an RV. You don't know.
Hey, you added something to the media corner. This wasn't in here earlier, and I have no picture for it.
Oh, you go look at the picture. Go pull it up.
Mark Hamill just posted this on Twitter.
That's hilarious.
Getting a piggyback ride.
I think Yoda was a little lighter.
Wait, is he playing Tauntaun?
I think so.
He's training her. Get it?
Oh, got it.
Yes, like Yoda. Wow. Got it.
He's now the Jedi Master, and okay. But he's in a parking lot.
Yes, that's a big departure from Dagobah.
You know what? I found out I watched E.T. last night. Finished watching it tonight.
For the first time.
No. For the first time in probably 20 years.
Sure.
I learned two things. One is I was just previously watching the Ken Burns documentary on Prohibition. And for whatever reason, I stopped right in the middle of the episode and fired up E.T. because it just on Netflix just came up.
What the heck? Yeah.
The man with the keys in E.T. is Peter Coyote.
That's correct.
He does all the voiceovers for Ken Burns' documentaries.
That's weird.
Strange coincidence. The other thing is, okay, when they're dressed up as Halloween and they're walking down the street and Yoda or E.T. sees Yoda and he goes, home, home, home. Mm-hmm. E.T. lives on Dagobah. Come on.
Okay.
It's that obvious. But for a Spielberg production, they threw in a lot of Star Wars references. Hey.
Well, and fair enough that E.T. was in Star Wars.
Where?
Where? He was in the Senate scene.
Which
one? In the Attack of the Clones when they're in the Senate, you know, and everybody's going nuts because the Emperor's wanting to, they're doing a vote of no confidence. With
he
the,
was in the, oh, I'm going to have to look at that.
Oh, man.
Is that an Easter egg thing?
I'm trying to tell you something. Hold on. Listen. Down in the, I think it's the bottom right-hand corner, when you start seeing the aliens, they're all raising their hands and they're all cheering or whatever.
Yeah.
You'll see them down there. There's about four or five of them.
Yeah, but that first trilogy's dead to me, so I just... It doesn't exist in my world.
On Google for crying out loud.
Okay, I'll do that.
But then, yes, you can see about four or five of them sitting in one of those little brown pods.
Geek Library. All right, we have thrown in a photo library. Oh, no. Craig, that link is not working. Yeah, I got a 404.
Uh-oh.
Well, anyway, talk about it.
Working before. Yes. In fact, I had some screen images. We'll put those on the video feed because I snagged those while the site was working.
Well, there you go.
This man took an old Pentium 3 and started sawing into it to display what's inside of it. And he goes deeper and deeper and deeper into the bowels of the CPU. I don't know how he did some of these photographs.
He had to have just ground it off slowly.
Well, I mean, these are down to like
Electron microscope kind of thing.
But I didn't know that you could focus an electron microscope because he's got two shots here. One is focusing on the top layer and one is focusing on the middle layer.
No, I was just saying the pictures look like that.
Hmm.
Yeah, it kind of does. But very interesting from a photographic layout and being able to dissect stuff. We took apart the K-Pro at this time last year and he took apart a CPU. Which one's cooler? Now, we are interviewing tomorrow morning, Monday morning, it will be coming out very soon, an interview with Adam Stelzner from JPL. And recently, BB-8 took a visit to JPL, and the video is available. If you click through our website into Gizmodo, you will see BB-8 talking to the Curiosity rover, which is surprisingly large.
Yeah.
That thing is as big as a car.
Yeah, it is. It's the size of a mini.
I thought that it was... much smaller, or maybe that was just the Spirit and Opportunities that were much smaller.
Yeah, Sojourner Pathfinder was way smaller.
Pathfinder was big, but Sojourner was smaller.
Yeah, those were just tiny, tiny.
Crazy, crazy stuff. So if you want to watch a fun video, go to our website and click on the BB-8 Visits JPL link in the Geek Library.
Cool.
By the way, click on the link.
It's not a clickable link. You just paste a text at me.
Well, go ahead and paste it.
Paste. Oh, this is so hard. New tab.
Oh, man.
Paste.
So much work.
First world problem.
There we go.
Oh, there they are.
Oh.
They're the little ET guys.
Holy cow. I never saw that.
Wow.
Home, home.
That's hilarious.
Far out. Okay, so Lucas and Spielberg. All right, our geek question of the week is real easy this week. Ginger or Marianne?
Oh, man.
We now know who wrote this question.
Marianne.
If you want to phone in your response, call the new listener line, 707-530-2428. That's 707-530-CHAT.
Ginger or Marianne, and why?
Oh, yeah. Like, let's give us some logic behind that. We just want to peel apart, you know, the layers off the onion.
Or Mrs. Howell, you know, we're not judging.
Or the professor, we're not judging. Who's to say? Why don't we just open this up and say, which Gilligan's Island character? Come on, we have female listeners out there. They're not going to pick Ginger or Marianne.
There's no sense being misogynistic about this.
I'm not labeling people at this point. You pick who you like to pick.
That's right.
And we're not even meaning it in the sexual way. You may go, hey, I want to hang out with the professor. He was a smart dude.
Absolutely.
That's good for us.
I mean, you're not? Okay.
Craig, I know who writes these questions and why.
Oh, it's your job to sanitize it, show.
And
sanitize for your protection.
Get out the muriatic acid now, people. It's up to you. That takes us to the end of the show. If you want to get in touch with us, like I said, 707-530-CHAT. We want to hear from you. Email us at technorama@chuckchat.com. Thank you, Michael.
You're welcome.
That was a lot of fun.
Nice to be here.
Always good for a laugh. I mean, this show. It's going down.
Thanks for coming in. You're funny.
We're going down in flames again. And, well, we got about 30 seconds to just kick around here. Okay.
Okay.
Tell a friend about Technorama. Go over. Hey, if you want to be a Patreon member, click on the link.
Marianne.
Patreon.com/TechnoramaPodcast. Shh. Talking here.
How about the strange space monkey that landed on the island?
Puppy, maybe. Baby puppy monkey. Give us a 101.
101. That'd have been hilarious seeing that on Gilligan's Island.